Listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Program Advisory Committee meets quarterly on the second Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 2 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing to you in February and March at kboo.fm/thrills. Help us reach our goal of $17,000 by March 25th. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text us. Type in KBOO to the number 44321. For the thrill of it all, keep listening.
Hi, this is Juan Carlos Ordóñez, host of Policy for the People. Before we get to today's episode, let me remind you that KBOO has a $17,000 all thrills, no frills goal. Help us get there by becoming a member today. Text KBOO to 44321. And you can check out all the great programming specials that we've put together at kboo.fm/thrills. Thanks for your support, and now here is the show. Welcome to Policy for the People, a show that explores the public policies that can lift up all Oregonians. This show is a collaboration between KMUZ Radio and the Oregon Center for Public Policy. I am your host, Juan Carlos Ordóñez. Right now, the Oregon legislature is considering a bill that would establish the Oregon Kids Credit. This state child tax credit would put money in the pockets of the families with the fewest resources, helping them cover the rent, pay for food, and other essentials. The need for a state child tax credit became all the more urgent after Congress failed to renew the enhanced federal child tax credit that did so much to reduce poverty in our nation in 2021. Today on Policy for the People, we discuss the Oregon Kids Credit proposal with two of its champions, State Representatives Andrea Valderrama and Lisa Reynolds. But first, we look at how the enhanced federal child tax credit made a crucial difference in the life of one family in Oregon. Paola Velasquez shares the story of her family.
My name is Paola Velasquez. I live in Seaside, Oregon, and I've lived there since I was 13. I currently work at The Harbor. We're a nonprofit agency for sexual assault and domestic violence and stalking survivors. So we do crisis response and we help survivors gain emergency services when they need it. We also provide them emotional support. The most rewarding part of this job is that I can build trust with the individuals. There's a saying that trust begins change and change happens with trust. So I have held that very deeply. I live with my husband and my two boys. Dante is 3 and Daniel is 1. My husband's name is Juan Pablo Velasquez and he works as a carpenter in construction. Dante was born in 2019. At that time, I was studying at Portland State University. I was actually living here in Seaside and I would commute to Portland State for my classes. At the beginning of my school year experience, I worked at Moe's in Seaside, Oregon, as a busser and hostess. And then I had to stop working for a while when I also became pregnant with Dante, because it was getting a little too much. And he was born on Thanksgiving, and I had a final that day. And when I went in, the nurse was like, "Yeah, you're probably gonna be giving birth today or tomorrow." And I asked if I could commute to Portland that day to finish my final. And she looked at me, she's like, "You're crazy. You cannot be driving in your condition." Our economic situation after Dante was born was very tight. We didn't know what the next day would hold. Despite my husband working in construction, it was very hard for us to keep up on my school expenses and then commuting to Portland. We were living, paycheck to paycheck, and we also had to ask for family support as well. When I had learned about the expanded child tax credit, I was very excited because I thought it was so necessary for, especially for my family. It was such a good benefit for us because it allowed us to buy daily stuff for Dante, and then I was pregnant during 2021 and it helped have some breathing space to know that we were going to get that relief from the $300 that we were receiving monthly to buy stuff for the children, and whether it was diapers or diaper wipes or just a little bit more nutritious food if our WIC benefits had gone out. It provided us to live a little bit more peacefully. The credit did help me finish my studies. There are so many parents, but specifically students who are parents who are struggling economically out there and that want to make a change in the world and want to give back to the community that they have lived in. And this credit can help their family thrive and make Oregon into a more equitable state.
That was Paola Velasquez sharing the story of how the enhanced federal child tax credit made a crucial difference in her family's life. And now we discuss a proposal to establish a state child tax credit, the Oregon Kids Credit, with two members of the Oregon legislature who are championing the bill. Representative Andrea Valderrama represents House District 47 in Outer East Portland. Representative Lisa Reynolds represents House District 34 in Washington County. My colleague Alejandro Queral, the executive director of the Oregon Center for Public Policy, spoke with Representatives Valderrama and Reynolds. Here is their conversation.
Representatives Valderrama and Reynolds, welcome to Policy for the People. Both of you, along with other colleagues in the legislature, have introduced a bill that would create the Oregon Kids Credit, a state child tax credit. We're going to get into the details of the legislation in a bit, but let me start by asking, what motivated you to introduce this bill? Representative Valderrama, let's start with you.
Happy to, and thanks so much for having us participate today. We're really excited. So just a quick, you know, intro, Andrea Valderrama, she, her, ella pronouns, and I'm really honored to represent Outer East Portland, House District 47. And, you know, taking care of our children and families means everything to me, and specifically in the district that I represent, House District 47, Outer East Portland, many of our families, including mine, you know, we really struggled to make ends meet during the pandemic, post-pandemic, and for many years. And so coming from a Peruvian Latinx household, coming from a district filled with immigrant, refugee, and BIPOC communities, low-income communities, this really was the motivation for me for proposing this legislation, working with community to say, we deserve more than just the basic cost of, you know, getting by. We deserve to, you know, not make these choices between rent and prescriptions and childcare. And so really wanted to make sure that we were centering what my district needs, what my community needs, and hopefully putting forth something that would really lift folks out of poverty.
And what about you, Representative Reynolds? What prompted you to want to sign on and champion the Oregon Kids Credit?
Thank you. And again, thank you for having us here. Yeah, we're both happy to be here. So my name is Lisa Reynolds. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a state representative for Oregon House District 34, which includes a big chunk of it is unincorporated Washington County. And I also have the Five Oaks neighborhood of Beaverton. And this is the community in which I've been practicing as a pediatrician for over 20 years. And I decided to run for office, you know, now going on, I guess, almost 4 years ago, because I was seeing in my exam room what is and what is not working for Oregon families and for Oregon children. And, you know, when I think about my medical training, learning how to read x-rays and look at blood smears on slides, that medical knowledge is really important, but really impacts the health of my patients are the social determinants of health, things like, does one feel safe in their community? Does one have a home to live in? Is there enough food on the table? And the through line to so much of that is poverty. And so I have just, in the past 6 months or so, have decided that I'm going to do everything I can to reduce child poverty in Oregon. And this particular concept, this Oregon Kids Tax Credit, goes a long way in alleviating child poverty. So I'm just really thrilled to be part of the team championing this particular tool for alleviating child poverty.
Thank you both for that. And Representative Reynolds, just to follow up, because you do raise this, your practice as a pediatrician, and I'm wondering if you have seen some long-term effects of poverty and economic insecurity, and particularly, you know, in children in, among Oregon families.
What I would say what I'm seeing so overtly is the stress on parents, particularly in that first year of life. We have a questionnaire for parents on social determinants of health. Parents are often leaving our office with cans of formula and diapers. So what we know about that toxic stress, especially in that first year of life, is it can really impede the important engagement and attention of that parent-child dyad. And that is something I definitely see, probably higher rates of postpartum depression and toxic stress. That's the one that's most overt to me and what I'm seeing day in and day out. I will say that with the help of our office and social services, we are usually able to get families support for nutrition, but it's a bit of a catch-as-catch-can process, right? In our clinic, we've been really fortunate to be able to provide those services. So I think the thing that sticks out to me the most is that toxic stress in the first year.
And those kind of stressors in the first year can have long-term, lifelong repercussions for the children.
Yes, absolutely. When we think about everything from fourth grade reading scores to social emotional health for children, when that first year feels somewhat disrupted by the toxic stress of poverty, it, you know, that's like a fork in the road, and it makes it harder for that child to, you know, reach their full potential. So this, again, this is something I care about deeply. We also know there are literally DNA ramifications of toxic stress. It changes our genetics and adds to the generational trauma of poverty. And of course, intermixed with this is, you know, the trauma of systemic racism. But you're absolutely right, Alejandra. There are long-lasting repercussions from child poverty.
Right, and as some experts have said before, you know, it's a poverty getting into your blood, in a sense. Representative Valderrama, what have you heard from people in your district about the economic challenges that they're facing in terms of raising a family?
You know, it's really interesting to hear Dr. Reynolds mention all of the things that she sees in her practice. Those are experiences that I hear time and time again, not only from my neighbors, but even, you know, myself and my own family as well. You know, early on in the pandemic, my daughter was in kindergarten, and I, like many other mothers, made the tough decision to, you know, leave my job to transition her into online learning. And, you know, at that point, she didn't know how to read, you know, just really needed someone there to be able to help in a pretty difficult time. We were dependent on the school for food, and that stress was so intense, you know, let alone the stress of a pandemic and, you know, just, you know, no vaccine in sight and so many other worries at that time. But really, what we were just talking about resonates with me and with what I hear so often, that this stress of, you know, not just not knowing where the next meal is going to come from, but also thinking about trying to at bare minimum have something healthy, and then on top of that, you know, worrying about your own mental health, to then, you know, have to support with homework, to then have to maybe try to do some extracurriculars, to maybe, you know, all these other components of our life, is really difficult. And those are things that I hear time and time again. In the David Douglas School District, pre-pandemic, we had over 80% of families on free and reduced lunch. And during the pandemic, we, you know, really invested in mutual aid. Over 600,000 meals were distributed. And this hunger and this experience is still with us, even though we've come a long way in the pandemic. And so those are just a few of the experiences that I know I've faced, that our district continues to face. And one of the real reasons, right, that we're not just talking about poverty, we're really talking about people's livelihoods, people's ability to show up as parents, as moms, as kiddos to school or to their workplace, you know, with a full belly and able to learn and able to show up in their best way possible. And right now that's not happening.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Policy for the People here on listener-supported KBOO Community Radio. If you're enjoying this content, show your support for this program and all your favorite KBOO shows by donating to KBOO's special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, at kboo.fm/give.
The last 2.5 years have been so stressful for families. And in 2021, Congress did something really significant, and that was to strengthen the federal child tax credit and make it available to the lowest income families. We know from that experience that this change was really largely responsible for a massive drop in childhood poverty. But unfortunately, those improvements expired at the end of 2021. There's going to be a number of other things that were expanded during the pandemic that are now coming to an end, like certain food assistance benefits. So my question to you is, How have the impacts that we saw from the enhanced federal child tax credit influenced your thinking in terms of what we need to do here in Oregon? Representative Valderrama, maybe you can take this question first.
Absolutely. You know, we saw the immense influence that this federal tax credit provided across the country, pretty immediate sweeping effects in 2021 when Congress temporarily expanded that credit as part of the ARPA rescue plan. Child poverty nationally dropped by nearly half. It was pretty incredible. And the gap in poverty for communities of color, Black and brown communities, also narrowed. So we know that this works. I'm also really excited about the work that we did last session in 2021 with HB 4157, the $600 one-time payments to over 250,000 Oregonians who had filed for the EITC, some of our most economically unstable families. And we saw that as really making a difference. And so this bill, which I'm really excited about, HB 3235, it really expands on these examples that we know made a big difference, that made a dent, but unfortunately are no longer available.
Representative Reynolds, anything you would like to add?
Hard to top that. Thank you, Rep. Valderrama. I mean, one thing I will say is that these are all policy choices, right? Allowing people to live in poverty is a policy choice. And I think I do want to acknowledge that Oregon has done some really incredible things. I probably practice pediatrics in the best state in the country because we cover all kids with health insurance. I tell people that my pediatric friends in other states are envious of me, and my friends here in Oregon who treat adults are also jealous, right? You know, where in the world are you able to practice medicine and literally not worry if your patient is insured or not? Because they are. So Oregon has done some incredible things to try to alleviate child poverty, but we still have about 15% of our children living in poverty. And that's that pretty low wage level that we're calling poverty. I think the family of four making less than $30,000 a year. So I would say that child poverty is a policy choice. And we do have ways at the state level. I mean, I wish it were happening better at the federal level, that the federal child tax credit had been made permanent. There certainly was, felt like we were close to that. It didn't happen. But as Rep. Valderrama said, and as you've implied, Alejandra, that, I mean, you know, it really worked to reduce child poverty. So as the chair of the Committee on Early Childhood and Human Services, where we think quite a lot and worry quite a lot about child endangerment, we know that the toxic stress of poverty increases the risk of child endangerment. And so, you know, I've had a pediatrician colleague, he's actually in Kansas, say that child endangerment, therefore, is a little bit of a policy choice too. So I think there's a lot we can do during challenging fiscal times to do right by Oregon's children. And it's really an honor to be in this work with people like Rep. Valderrama, people like OCPP, and so many others who understand the importance and also the efficiency and efficacy of early interventions. Early spending gives you a very large return on investment. There's a economic curve called Heckman's curve that I show to everyone who will look and listen, right? That shows that the earlier you invest in a child's life, the more likely good outcomes will come from it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to State Representatives Andrea Valderrama and Lisa Reynolds discuss why they are pushing for legislation that would establish the Oregon Kids Credit. They spoke with my colleague, Alejandro Queral.
Well, let's talk about the specifics of the legislation you have introduced. Representative Reynolds, let's stick with you. What would House Bill 3235 do? Can you give us an overview of what the Oregon Kids Credit would look like?
Yes, as it's written now, this bill proposes that a family that, the numbers are joint filers who make $30,000 or single filers who make $20,000, I believe, would be eligible for $100 per month per child 0 to 18. This would be, unfortunately, it wouldn't be as cool as the federal child tax credit and being given out in monthly increments. It would be at the end of the tax year, but that would be $1,200 for each child 0 to 18. And then there'd be, sliding scale isn't quite the right phrase, but if you're, make $10,000 more, than those limits that I listed, then you would get some portion of that $100 per child. Now, I will be honest, the price tag on that is quite high, and we may have to look on tailoring it a little bit more. But that's essentially what the bill would do.
And Representative Greg Smith at the hearing on Monday put it very succinctly, and he said, you know, we're going to spend the money anyway. Let's put it into this, which is a proven investment. Perhaps he's onto something there. Anything you would like to add on this point regarding the details of the proposal, Representative Valderrama?
I guess I'll just talk a little bit about, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit of a wonky language, right? A refundable tax credit. Well, what does that mean? And how can I really get, any benefit from that? And I do just want to clarify that really what that means is cash resources, right? Up to $1,200 for each child for Oregon's lowest income, most in need families. And again, this is really to cover things like rent, childcare, food, things that we saw with the federal tax credit and with the $600 payments that folks used it for. And so these are resources that directly go to families and that we're really excited about providing that opportunity. And to, Representative Smith's point, I absolutely see this as one of those upstream approaches, right? To not only being more fiscally responsible with our resources, but making sure that we are truly investing in Oregonians because we believe in and know that that's the right thing to do.
Thank you for that. I think you raised an excellent point, and sometimes the wonkiness in our language gets in the way of clarity. And the point about being 100, this credit being 100% refundable is a really important one. To your point, it essentially means that families will get this cash. To clarify, I think the joint filers is up to $40,000, and then it starts decreasing. But as Representative Reynolds points out, you know, the final outcome is yet to be determined in terms of what this bill will look like at the end of its journey through the legislative process. Representative Valderrama, so if this bill were to become law, what do you think its impact would be? How would it benefit our state? And I think we've alluded to some of those points, but I wonder if there's other insights there that you could shine for us.
We're not only looking at reduced child poverty, but again, an ability to have a mom or a parent have the mental energy and the wellness to be able to support with that homework help, right? To maybe look at some of those extracurricular activities that have maybe been financially out of reach, to have a better nutrition opportunity or more regular visits, right? So when we look at reduction of child poverty, which I do believe this bill would provide, we're looking at those specific impacts, right? Actually getting at a family that is a little bit healthier, a little bit happier, a little bit more whole. The other two components that I'll mention are around just reducing racial disparities, right? Outer East Portland has very high numbers of immigrant, refugee, and BIPOC communities, as well as low-income families. And we know that this investment in the district would really raise all boats and reduce the racial disparities that we experience in our job access, in our educational access, and all of those other ways. And then the last thing that I'll mention is really just reducing geographic disparities as well. These resources know no boundaries, right? Every child in every county, in every corner of Oregon, from rural Oregon to Outer East Portland to the coast, would really stand to benefit from these resources.
What about you, Representative Reynolds? What do you think the benefits for Oregonians would be?
I think Rep. Valderrama said it best. Yes, it'll just get money in the hands of families for them to better meet their basic needs, maybe buy a birthday gift every now and again, get the car fixed, all the things that we saw people were using with the federal child tax credit. And then I really, really think a lot, Ned, as I know Rep. Valderrama does too, about the stress we put families under, the emotional, social burden of being impoverished, not knowing if you're going to have enough, you know, food at the end of the month or make rent next month. I think that has been incredibly disruptive on the important family bonding relationship. So if we can just alleviate some of that for some families, my gosh, you know, it's going to pay itself back, you know, several fold over.
I think it's important to mention, too, that HB 3235 has bipartisan and bicameral support. And I think that speaks to the broad appeal to Representative Valderrama's point about addressing geographic disparities as well as racial disparities. Can you talk a little bit about how this bill will help address these inequities that are so pervasive throughout our state? Representative Valderrama, you want to go first?
Absolutely. You know, I am really excited to see such a strong bipartisan and bicameral support on this bill. And I do think, you know, especially when we look back at HB 4157, right? Children in rural Oregon actually were disproportionately able to benefit. And I do think the same is true for this bill as well, that we're really looking at where the most need is and providing resources to solve for that.
What about you, Representative Reynolds? What do you think this bipartisan support means for the future of the bill?
In our committee, the House Committee on Early Childhood and Human Services heard this bill on Monday. Boy, feels like it was longer ago than that. And having Representative Smith there, not just because he's Republican, but because he's got deep, deep experience both on ways and means and revenue, it went a long way to persuading people who I think might have been a little skeptical about this bill. So it's huge. And I think Rep Valderrama and I and Rep Smith are gonna work to expand the coalition of people who are calling for an Oregon Kids Credit.
Wonderful. Well, before we wrap up, is there any final point regarding the Oregon Kids Credit that you would like to share with us, Representative Reynolds?
I would just say, for anyone who's listening, please reach out to your representatives and let them know you think this is a really important step for Oregon to take. We've already done a lot. We're on the verge of passing an incredible housing bill that will actually really help in our efforts to reduce child poverty by providing housing specifically targeted at families with young kids and also helping with our homeless youth, as well as the whole package, of course, getting as many people in housing as possible. This is, I just think of this as part of that package. What can we do to make